Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wonderful. My name is Eddie, and my wife and I, my hot dark chocolate, as I call her, but her name is Martha, right? And we get to serve as the pastoral team leaders, and it's a joy for us to be here today. And thank you so much for joining us. Those online, come on, let's welcome everybody online, on air. Thank you. Sunday, the day we celebrate Jesus. That's why we've been singing, Worthy is His Name, because there's nobody else that is worthy of all the worship. Amen. And a couple of things just before I get into God's Word to celebrate. Today, campus number 17 that we planted 1 year ago is celebrating 1 year. Come on. Let's praise God so much for that. Wetoto Church Mukono, we are celebrating 1 year, reaching over 1,000 people every week. Wow, it's amazing. And as you heard from Pastor Tony earlier in the prayer, on the 30th of this month, we are going to be launching campus number 18, Wetoto Church Gayaza Nakwero. Come on, we celebrate that. We have prayed for a location in that area for many years, many, many years. And I believe God is going to use that campus to reach those communities. I cannot wait for what God is about to do in that place. Now, the third thing I just want to bring to our attention is something we've never done before. Now, for about 31, 32 years, every December, we always look forward to one of our best musicals here at Wetoto Church, the Christmas Cantata. Now, I got saved at the Christmas Cantata, actually. So really, this thing is so special to me. But for the first time in the life of Wetoto Church, we won't have... Wait. The Christmas Cantata on this stage. We are going to have a grand missional cantata out of this building, because every year, we have lots of people that come to this place but can never access. This place has become too small for what we do here. And so for the first time in our lifetime, we are going to have our Christmas cantata outdoor, reaching tens of thousands of people every show. Now, we've been trying to get the biggest grounds, but they were not available because election season, they are needed for that part. But you know what? We found another place right across the valley in Old Kampala SS Sports Ground. We are working on it, leveling it, because in that place, we can have 10,000 people per show. It's going to be amazing. 10,000 people outdoor. And on the 17th of December, we are going to begin with a carols night. Now, what is special about the carols is it's going to be Wetoto plus other churches coming together to say that we are one in Jesus Christ. And then at the end, we are going to light up the biggest Christmas tree Kampala has ever seen, taller than many skyscrapers. And we shall be telling Kampala that Jesus is the hope of this city. Come on, let's celebrate God so much for that. Amazing. Now, here is where things get better. It's not just entertainment. It's going to be missional in nature, because we want to make sure that many people can hear that Jesus saves. He became the Son of God in order for many of us to become sons of God. We want to ensure that every night, out of every 10,000 people, at least 5,000 people get to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that means you are going to invite your unsaved friends, your enemies, your neighbors, everybody else. And all of you, I would like you as members of Wetoto Church to pray for this amazing opportunity to reach the city. But also, make sure that you are a volunteer, because this is going to require a lot of work. It's a missional cantata, and even next year, we believe we're going to be even in a bigger place. We thank God because of our missions offering, miracle offering, we are able to do that. Thank you, Wetoto family, for your generosity. We are reaching the city. So let's pray. Let's prepare. It's going to be amazing. Shall we pray right now? Now, Father, I pray that the preaching of God's word will be clear, will be convicting, and also will be transformational, because your word is powerful. Your word is equal to your action. I pray, like that parable of the sower reminds us, the problem is never the seed. The issue is the soil. And I pray today that every person in this place, online, on air, that hears your word, I pray they'll receive it. I pray that the soils of their hearts will be fertile. And I pray that may the planting of your seed bring forth fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I do pray, and everybody say the big amen. Amen, amen. Now, last week we began a new series that is launching us towards the end of this year, and we are calling this Finish Strong. We want to finish strong. When we began this year, many of you had New Year's resolutions. How many of you had resolutions? All right, 10 of you. Oh my goodness. 10 of you. Online, one emoji. Oh, that is so bad. Okay, but I had a few of them. And at this moment in the year, you get to look back and see, have I accomplished what I planned to do? Because life is made up of seasons. There are seasons to begin and there are seasons to end. There are seasons to evaluate how we are doing. And as we go through this series, we want you to reflect upon your life and see how you are doing when it comes to the race of life. Because life is like a race. There's a finishing line. There's a starting point, and you are the athlete. And we want to get at the finish line, and we hear those beautiful words from Jesus, "Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant." You know, for many years after preaching, I used to hear people come to me say, "Pastor, well done." And I was wondering, what are they telling me? Was my preaching a job? Because for me, I don't preach to hear "well done" from people. I preach, I want to hear "well done" from my Heavenly Father. Then I got to understand it's a cultural thing here in Uganda. "Well done" means jebaleko in Luganda. So they were just saying hi, you know? "Well done." But you know what I know about all of us in this place? We all want to hear a "well done." When you have performed very well, you want to hear a "well done." When your children perform very well, they want to hear from you, "well done." And it's something that is on the inside of us. After an achievement, we want a celebration. And it's good. It is something that God placed in our hearts. And at the end of this life, when we cross the finish line, I believe that all of us want to hear a "well done." Now, to hear a "well done" at the end of this race called life, it is important that we take care of how we race through this life. Now, I had a story about an athlete from Tanzania, our neighbors to the south. His name is John Stephen Akwari, who participated in the Olympics in 1968, and they were in Mexico City in Mexico. Now, here's the story. Akwari, a farmer from Tanzania, represented his country in the marathon at the 1968 Summer Olympics in Mexico City. And his grit inspired generations. The high altitude of Mexico City made the 42-kilometer marathon brutal, hot, thin air, and relentless pace. Akwari, then 30 years old, was the reigning African marathon champion. He started strong. But at the 19-kilometer mark, chaos erupted as runners began to push each other for positions. And Akwari was knocked down hard. He dislocated his knee, gashed his shoulder and torn ligaments. Severe injuries had left him bandaged and hobbling. While the winner of that race, Ethiopia's Mama World, crossed the finish line in 2 hours and 20 minutes under the hot sun, Akwari limped on alone. He walked some stretches, ran others, fighting cramps and darkness as the stadium lights dimmed. Over an hour after the leaders, at 7:35 p.m., he staggered across the finish line in position number 57. He was the last among those who finished. Bloodied, exhausted, but unbroken. And then a journalist showed up and said, "Why didn't you quit?" Here's what he said. "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." You see, life is like a marathon. And the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that we need to run our race with perseverance. Why? There are obstacles along the way of life. And the writer of Hebrews said there are sins and weights that we must shake off, looking at the finish line. And that is Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And being reminded of his example, because even Jesus had a race that he ran when he came here as a human being. He persevered through it. He endured suffering from sinners. And now he's seated in glory at the right hand of God the Father. And so life is a race. If we are going to finish strong and here, well done. Not only should we know, must we know our God-given purpose, have a vision and live with intentionality, we must be grounded in convictions that are going to keep us steady when the going gets tough. Like John Aquari, who finished the 1968 Olympic race bloody and broken. We don't finish strong by just emotion, willpower, or convenience. We finish strong when we have strong convictions. And these convictions must be anchored in the unchanging, sufficient, and powerful Word of God. To finish strong, we need strong convictions. Now, what are convictions, you might ask? You know, a conviction is more than just an opinion. You know, opinions change with new information, all right? Or preferences, they change with time. A conviction is a deeply held belief that shapes how you live, make decisions, and respond to the world. A conviction is a firm belief you will stand for, that you won't compromise in the face of temptation. A conviction shapes your behaviors. So we all have convictions. You might not know them, but your behaviors reflect what you believe. Those are your convictions. A conviction is formed by truth. And for us as children of God, convictions are formed by God's word, not emotion, not culture, not trends, not traditions, not even science. Our convictions must be rooted in God's word. As we began the year and exposing the theme to all of us here, our theme came from Joshua 1:9. And our theme this year is still bold, strong, courageous. We say that we need to have a bold vision, something that shows us the end line, the picture of a preferred future that brings passion in us. But also we need strong convictions, because a picture without convictions is just fantasy. And these convictions, we said, must be grounded in God's word. And we learned from Joshua that was a man of convictions. He led with convictions. And his convictions were shaped by what God said. In verse 9 of chapter 1, God told him, "This book of the law should never depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Make sure you observe. Do everything that is written then you will succeed in the vision that I've given to you to lead my children in the promised land. He had a picture. God showed him the promised land. But he told him that the way you're going to get there is by trusting in what I say, not what culture says. Our convictions must be shaped by God's word, not opinion, not culture, not preferences. And we see in his life that Joshua was a man of convictions. Just think about a couple. Let me give you a couple of examples. The strategy that God gave to him to overcome the city of Jericho is unconventional. Think about it. If you are going to fight your enemy today, stealth technology is the best way to win wars these days. You just show up without the enemy noticing. What did God tell Joshua? Go and march around Jericho for 6 days and don't do anything. In other words, expose yourselves to your enemy. And remember, the spies had seen the guys in Jericho. They were giants. They were warriors. They were way bigger than them. For 6 days, they were exposing themselves to the enemy and saying nothing. That is not the way you win wars today. But because God said it, Joshua believed it, and the city came down. Why? Because he was convinced that he who said he was faithful to deliver on his promises. Somebody say amen to that. That is conviction in God's word. What about you? What are your convictions? Are they shaped by God's word, or they have been shaped by culture? And if you want to finish strong in this life, our convictions must be shaped by God's word. Now, three reasons why scripture or the word of God must shape our convictions. Number one, three reasons. I'm going to give them to you beforehand and then we shall unpack them. Number one, our convictions must be shaped by God's word because God's word is unchanging. Everybody say that, unchanging. That's the first. The second thing is, our convictions must be shaped by God's word because God's word is sufficient. Everybody say sufficient. In other words, enough. And then number three, our convictions must be shaped by God's word because God's word is powerful. Everybody say powerful. Those are the three points I'm going to talk about today. Number one, unchanging. This means that God's word is eternal, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does not need improvement. If God said, I'm your provider yesterday, he is your provider today. He is your provider tomorrow. If God set up a standard for sexuality yesterday, it is the same today. It is the same tomorrow. Our convictions must be anchored on God's unchanging word. It's eternal. It's immutable. It's reliable forever. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. We don't need to update God's word. It is enough to shape our conviction, even in the 21st century. Matthew 24, 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth, everything you see, people, buildings, empires, leaders, whatever it is you can see, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And that is why you must ground your conviction on the unchanging word of God. Everything changes, but God's word lasts forever. You see, every other foundation, earthly foundation, is going to shift. Culture changes. What your great-grandfather believed about fashion is different today. Culture changes. Global trends flip overnight. Yesterday it was body positivity. Today it's Ozempic and six packs. Tomorrow I don't know. Don't build your convictions on global trends. Politicians promise and even write history, change constitutions. And now they are promising rivers where there are no, bridges where there are no rivers. Science updates itself every decade. But God's word never changes. You can count on God's word to create a foundation that is unshakable for your life. Build your conviction on God's word. You see, when life gets hard, and let me tell you, life will get hard. Jesus said it. In this life, you will face trials. Jesus said it. Jesus experienced it. And our convictions are always tested in times of trial. In fact, if you want to know a person's conviction, see them when they're going through a difficult moment in their lives. Trials expose what our foundations are. Trials are going to come. And conviction in the never-changing word of God will keep you from drifting. So let me ask you a question. What are your convictions when it comes to God? Do you think God can be known? God's word teaches that God can be known. You can have a relationship with God, and that He paid the penalty for your sin, and you can have eternal life through Christ Jesus. Those are convictions. What is your conviction about work? Is it a means to the end? But the Bible defines what work is. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. In other words, work is a gift from God. I like the definition that I heard from Dorothy Sayers. She says, work is the expression of creative energy to serve man and glorify God. Work. That's a good conviction from the God's word. What is your conviction when it comes to sex? The Bible says it is good, made by God. Sex was never created by man from Hollywood. God gave man sex. Be fruitful and multiply. He said that. Go and have sex. In the context of marriage between one man, may I say biological, and woman for life, marriage. What are your convictions when it comes to marriage? In some of our cultures, I've seen even some wrong biblical teachers saying polygamy is acceptable. You must understand that the Bible, everything in the Bible is not instructive. There's a narrative and some that is instructive. It prescribes, but also it instructs. Just because Abraham had many wives, I don't say that that was God's design. In the beginning, watch what Jesus says. What is your conviction when it comes to gender? It's fluid. No. He created them male and female. What's your conviction when it comes to money? The Bible says it. Money is simply a tool to be used to serve man. But many of us are mastered by money. Money above everything. And you go for the hustle at the expense of everything in your life. What's your conviction about death? Some people think death is the end of everything. The Bible says death is transition to the next. Depending on how you've lived your life today. So, when you have strong convictions founded on God's unchanging word, what happens? You won't drift when the storms hit and you're going to finish strong. You'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Secondly, we must ensure that our convictions are shaped by God's word, because God's word is sufficient. That means it's enough. No supplements needed. You know, as I get older, we read because we must fight age. And I know we're all in the same journey, isn't it? We don't want to die. That's why you're here, right? Okay? But death is coming. Nevertheless, let's fight death. People tell us our food these days is not very nutritious, you know? As you get older, your body begins to demand some things that cannot be found in food. So you need supplementation. Okay? So every time I go shopping these days, guess what I buy? Supplements. Because I still want to cheat death at least for a few more years, if the Lord allows. Supplementation. Whereas supplements are good for our diet physically, when it comes to your spiritual diet, God's word does not need a supplement. God's word is enough. Amen. it is sufficient. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The reason you are alive today is because God has an assignment for you. There is a good work that God wants you to accomplish. And the Bible says that all scripture is breathed by God and is beneficial for you, to equip you for the assignment that God has for you here. God's word is sufficient to carry you in your marriage, in your faith, in how you handle your money. Every part of your life is in the Bible. It's sufficient. No supplements needed. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. How we get to know Him? As He is revealed in Scripture. So do you want to succeed in God's assignment here on earth? The Bible is sufficient. Do you want to succeed at your place of work, in your career, in your calling? God's word is available for you. Do you want to be successful in your leadership? God's word is available for you. It is sufficient. It is superior to every other voice. Whereas we might listen to other voices, but the Bible is way superior above. Psychology, as good as it is, may help you to cope, but cannot save you from sins. African traditional religion, Bajaja, can give you rituals, but can never offer you an forgiveness. Self-help books can motivate you for 1 month, but the next month you need another one. Only Scripture says can thoroughly equip you for every good work. God's word is sufficient for you. Amen. But here's a paradox. Whereas we say Jesus is enough, there's even a church called Jesus is enough. Okay? Whereas we say our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But yet our lives on the other side reflect Jesus and Jesus. You might be wondering how. Let me show you. The prosperity gospel that says, sow and then you're going to get. Let me hope you didn't give your miracle offering as a seed so that you can get. You see, how mean can your heavenly Father be that you have to bribe Him in order for He to provide for you? If He did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for all of us while we were still sinners, how much more wisdom to live your life? You don't buy God's miracles. All of them are acts of God's grace. Amen. So this idea, so to get, is demonic. The reason we give is because we have been given the greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sin. And everything that we have is because of His grace. I give because I love Him, because He first loved me. I don't give to get. I give because I've been given. There's nothing that I have here on earth that belongs to me. Even the brains that I'm using, He gave them to me. Even the oxygen that I'm breathing, it is His oxygen. Everything belongs to God. The earlier you get to know this, the better for you. Yes. Jesus and seed, then you prosper. That's a lie. Hyper deliverance. You need 7 levels of deliverance to be free. Listen to me. I know that I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. If your life is characterized by consistent deliverance sessions, something is wrong with you. And you have not been taught well. The Bible says, and Jesus taught this, by the way. Read the Bible. That's why scripture is sufficient. He said this. When the devils have been cast out of a house, meaning you, house, the house is empty. When they go away, the Bible says they will come back to check. Is there anything that is occupying the empty house? And if they find the house is empty, what they do? Goes back and finds the worst one. They say, Jeff, come on, let's go. There's a house. It's even cleaner than before. Come. And then just said, the state of the house is worse than before. Now, this is, carefully listen to this. Yes, demons and demons can oppress believers. Like if you own a house, okay, at home, and you leave some doors open, thieves are going to come in. They don't own the house, but they will possess that area of the house that you've kept what? Open. As a good owner of the house, what you do? Chase them, lock up, and fill the house with good things. So what do we fill the house with to keep the devils out? God's word. I said, if your life is characterized by devils, demons, something is wrong with you and you've not been taught well. The truth that you know, that you are intimate with, not just you know about, that you know you have experienced, is going to set you free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom is yours. But hey, you need the word of God to fill every aspect of your life. Amen. And the devils will stay wherever they want to stay. Let me give you another one. Jesus and supplementation. The prophetic movement and the thirst for personal words. Thus saith the Lord to you personally has become the new scripture. There is a trend around where the prophets are mushrooming up everywhere in Uganda, in Africa, around the world. And they are coming with extra words above the Bible. Now, listen, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit where there's a word of wisdom and knowledge comes. But some of these people are postulating to have something unique and different. And what has happened to believers? Everybody is running from one fellowship to the next fellowship and they're waiting for their personal word of God. Personal. Yet, God has given his revealed word, 66 books in the Bible available, personally addressed to you. I think there are many people who go to fellowship in this place. You're so quiet. So people are chasing prophecies more than reading the Bible. And when the prophecies fail, their faith derails. Because they are told they didn't have enough faith. Or they didn't sow. Yet, God's word is sufficient for you each and every day. Why go for supplements when the creator of your life has said, my word is enough for you? No need. So let's not run around for supplements, yet God has already showed us that his word is all sufficient for us. Amen. When I was a young believer, I remember I was so hungry for somebody to prophesy over me. My goodness, when they said, now some of you want to receive the word of the Lord, I was the first here always. Not in this place, in all the I used to go to 20 something years ago. Hungry for God's word. And then sometimes people will lay hands and say words, and you're like, hey, that one. That was a hard one. And they pushed my head, trying to make me fall. Me, I refused to fall. I refused. Because it was nothing. Why do you want me to fall? What if I break my arm? No, I won't do that. I won't do that. Where in the Bible do you see people running to be laid hands so they can fall? Oh, the praise was good because I fell. Falling, yet you are a thief on the street. Unfaithful at home. Absent as a parent, but you're falling under the Holy Spirit. That is on the Holy Spirit. Those are demons. So much thirst for falling down than falling on God's word and let the word read you and convict you and change you. God's word is sufficient. Let's build our convictions on God's sufficient word. No supplements needed. Lastly, God's word is powerful. It is alive. It is active. It is miracle producing. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God, not my word. But God's word is powerful. In the beginning, in Genesis, when God said, let there be, things happened. His words are equal to his actions. God's word is powerful. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirits. They're not bound by time, by space, by matter. They are spirit and they bring life. Amen. In Ezekiel, we see God telling Ezekiel, speak to the dry bones. And as he spoke God's word, the flesh began coming with dry bones. We need to be people of God's word because God's word in our mouth is equal to God's word from his mouth. It is powerful. Amen. Life-changing, miracle-working. Isaiah says this in 55 verse 11, so my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve its purpose for which I sent. God's word is powerful. It is powerful. It changes lives. It creates faith, turns drunkards into free people, changes communities. Civilizations that have been built upon God's word have flourished. When you build your marriage upon God's word, you will flourish. Build your business on God's word, you will flourish because God's word is powerful and it endures forever. Kingdoms come, kingdoms fall, but God's word endures forever. It's powerful. Other words will inform. Yeah, we need information. But God's word will transform. Only God's word can transform. Acts 2:37. I love this uneducated fisherman called Peter. On the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, he stands up. One day he was running away from Jesus, but today he's filled with the Spirit and under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he preaches to people who would have killed him. Actually, they later killed him. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Hallelujah. Cut to the heart, conviction. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Because the word of God convicts. We are not the convictors. God's word should be the convict. Some of us want to convict our people to change. We can't change people's lives. You need to speak God's word and pray God's word upon their lives and God will convict them. Verse 41, those who accepted his message and baptized were about 3,000. Changed lives. The East African revival that began on Namibia Hill through God's word, and then the Holy Spirit was poured upon. And then we see today we are still experiencing the effects. If we want to see a nation change, we better go back to the unchanging, sufficient, powerful word of God and speak the word of God in all situations. When we are praying, let's pray God's word. Don't pray problems. God knows your problems. God, we are suffering, we are struggling, we are sick, we are dying. So what? Do you believe you can address that? Pray God's word. I love Philippians 4:6-7 says this. You know, many of us as Christians, we miss this miracle there, you know. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We do that very well. But verse 7, watch this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying, what God is telling us, that every time you pray and you proclaim God's word in every situation, though you are still waiting for the physical manifestation of the answer, God gives you immediate peace at that moment. Peace is a result of prayer based on His word and faith. Peace. When Spafford said, "It is well, my soul," it was not a denial of the pain he was going through, but God's peace was covering him, knowing that it is well. Amen. If you pray and you go away without peace, you've gone with your burdens. You know, many times, sometimes I've gone to encourage people who are going through difficulty. And sometimes I begin to really mouth to think, what am I going to say that is going to encourage them? But to my shock, when I get to these people, I live more encouraged than them. I realize they have a joy that is more bigger than their situation. You know why? The peace that surpasses all understanding is guarding them amidst their situation. We need to be like Paul, who said, "I'm convinced that neither death or life, hell, demons, life, everything can be able to separate us from the love of Christ." I'm convinced. He has conviction because he understands that though we go through pain today, this is not the end of it. Jesus has overcome. Amen. So our convictions need to be built and shaped by God's unchanging words. Trends change. Culture change. Opinions are going to change. But God's word never changes. You can build your life on it. Like that builder on the rock who built a house on the rock. Because when the storms come, you will stand and finish strong. We need to trust in the sufficient word of God. No supplements needed. God's word is superior. It is from God. But also it's powerful. It changes lives. Therefore, to finish strong, we must reject the Jesus plus something and build our lives entirely on Scripture. Those who anchor their conviction on God's word will stand when others fail, endure when others quit, and finish with joy hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That is what we wait for. And that day is coming. We all are going to stand before our Creator, every one of us. My prayer that all of us can hear "well done." And the only time you hear "well done," number one, you should have placed your faith in His Son. After death, there are two destinations: heaven in the presence of God, or hell, where there's no God. And today, you have the opportunity to make a decision today. So when that day comes, and it's coming, for it's appointed for man to die. We have an appointment with death, friends. And then we face judgment. If you have not accepted Jesus, the Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of God. The beautiful thing is that Jesus already took your judgment when He died on that cross for your sins. Jesus paid the price and the penalty for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Will you trust Him today? Will you surrender completely to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If the answer is yes, I'm going to be praying for you shortly. Child of God, you have been a believer. Jesus says, "I stand at the door of your heart and I knock." If you open that door and allow me in, I'm going to come and dine with you. Jesus desires an intimate relationship based on His word with you. He wants your convictions to be shaped by what He says, not what other people say. So open your heart today. Resurrender your heart to Jesus. And get serious with Jesus and His word. Don't use the word of God as a supplement to every other thing. Let it be the primary place where you find your strength, everything you need in life. I knock at the door of your heart. Would you open that Bible every day and study and read and meditate and apply? That's how we grow in our relationship with Jesus. Not by jumping from one fellowship to the other. You don't grow. Those are supplements. Primarily, you and your word and prayer is a place you grow. So let's get serious with our faith and our walk with Jesus. Because trials are coming. And some of you are going through trials right now. Or you've been exposed. But when your convictions, your faith is built upon the word of God, you will stand. So let's bow our heads, close our eyes. And the question I have for you today, all of you, what is the Holy Spirit telling you today? What is Jesus saying to you today? And when you hear His word, you receive it and obey the word. God, I'm grateful for the opportunity for us to stand before the preaching of your word. And now it's time to respond to the word. God, I'm praying for my friends in this place who know they don't have a relationship with you, and today they want to be born again. I pray that today they will be courageous to say, "Here I am. Receive forgiveness and become your children." If that is you, right here in person, on air, online, and you're saying, "Today I would like to surrender my heart to Jesus. I sense it in my heart. It's time to make things right. I want to pray for you." If that is you, lift up your hand. Online, there's a link that is showing up. Click it. Raise your hand today. I want to pray for you today. Surrender your heart to Jesus. Upstairs, downstairs, online, on air. Raise your hand. Jesus is waiting for you. Upstairs. I'm going to see your hand, but raise it. There's a friend next to you who's going to be bring a book where you are. Raise that emoji online, and one of our leaders is going to reach out to you. Raise your hand and let me pray for you. Today, surrender your heart to Jesus because He loves you. Now, Father, thank you. Because your word is what convicts. I don't. You do. I pray that those who've convicted today, may they run to you because you are their Savior today. And when they come to you, you never put them to shame. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in the faith today. I pray that this word will be embraced and may it produce fruit in our hearts and in our lives. For your glory, in Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody say it. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.